Speak now, Lord, to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're coming down to the end now. You should have heard Pastor Jeff Taylor this morning. That was a sermon. As he took us into Revelation 21 and 22, I'm going to focus today on Revelation 20, a trap for the devil. Let me remind you now, just backgrounding a bit, the chapters 1 through 12 of Revelation are the big three. The big what? Seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets. Let's say that. Seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets. Again, seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets. That's the first part of the book of Revelation, the three big sevens. Then chapters 13 through 22 fill in the details that have been presented to us in the three big sevens, because the seven churches symbolize the personal growth of the Christian, the seven seals, the growth of the church, and the seven trumpets, the growth of the world that the church and the personal Christian lives in. Then chapter 13 to 22 fills in the details of the great controversy. The great what? The great controversy between Christ and Satan. That's filled in. Nothing really new is added in chapters 13 to 20, but the details are given. Chapter 13. I'm teaching now. I'm in a teaching mode. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, the world is divided between those who follow Satan and those who follow the Lamb. Simple as that. Chapter 13 splits them up. Those who follow Satan have the mark. Those who follow Christ have the seal. Chapter 14, the worship of God, and particularly his Sabbath, will be the message to the world. The result is going to be, and you do realize that in the last days there's going to be a Sabbath revival. Do you know that? Yeah, before the Lord comes, everybody on the planet is going to know that the seventh day is the Sabbath. I thought y'all would be more excited about that. And that truth is going to be a dividing truth. People who have denied the Sabbath for years will finally accept it and believe it in the last days. Some of your friends will say, I now believe you're right. Family members will come in and accept the Sabbath truth. What do you say out there? There'll be a dividing line. And those who stand for the Sabbath will come under severe persecution. But I'm not worried about that, because I know what God can do. What do you say? Then in chapter 15 and 16, the seven last plagues will permanently identify the righteous and the unrighteous. Once the plagues fall, you will not be able to hide who you are. The boils, the blood, and so forth. Once the plagues fall, we're going to know who's going to be saved. And we're going to know who's lost. You better be glad I'm not one of those old-fashioned Adventist preachers. Man, they'd preach them plagues. You'd be scared to get up in the morning and go to work. Boils popping out on your body. They would paint it. Pus coming off your skin. They would paint it. You would try to get a glass of water, and your mother saved, and she'd have clear water. She handed it to you. Your water would turn to blood. They preach that stuff, Cecil. I don't preach like that. But that's the truth. Chapter 17, God's people will discover who is Christ's wife and who is the devil's girlfriend. Remember that sermon I preached to you? In fact, we found out that some of us are both. We're Christ's wife on Sabbath and the devil's girlfriend after sunset. We found that out in that sermon. Remember that sermon? Yeah. Chapter 18, the harlot. The harlot of chapter 17 is found to be the Babylon of chapter 18, and they are powered by the beast of Revelation 13 and controlled by the dragon of Revelation 12. And we found out that there's a religious system. A religious what? Talk to me. A religious what? There's a religious system working to gain your mind and to gain your affection. And then chapter 19, the invitation is made to meet with Jesus. And the call is commitment to have an eternal relationship with heaven. Chapter 20. You know, all my life, I don't know about you, all my life, I'm only speaking for me, all my life I've been plagued by the devil. Now maybe you're doing fine. No, I'm just talking about me. But as for me and my house, come on somebody, all my life I've been plagued by the devil. From stubbing your toe to getting cancer. Can I get a witness? The devil is always on your trail. Do you know you've never lived a day without being bothered by the devil? Has it ever occurred to you? Now, I know that Christians are not supposed to think mean thoughts. But have you ever gotten a feeling in you sometime? You just want to see him get his. Come on now, don't be pious. Come on now. Have you ever just thought, I'd love to see the devil really catch it? Come on, release yourself. Go on, don't be pious. Really, just release yourself. You know you want him to get it. Because he's given you a fit. Sickness, sore feet, bad aches, bad bosses, bad friends, no money, house that needs to be fixed, car that will not start, and you can see him just laughing. Have you not wanted him to just get it? I guess I'm by myself. I want this. You said every day? Yes. Sis is with me. Got somebody with me. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. I'm so glad that chapter's in the Bible. Because when I read it, I say, Pastor Chris Cheatham, if I can just hang on, he's going to get it. I'm going to read it calm now. Then I saw an angel, thank you, Jesus, coming down from heaven, thank you, Jesus, having the key to what? And a what? Now, Pastor Jeff was eloquent this morning in explaining that Revelation is full of symbols. Full of what? And that the truth is greater than the symbol. So the symbol is an angel coming with chains. And the devil being thrown into what? A bottomless pit. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. And he laid... I love these texts in Revelation where all the devil's names are called in one verse. Here you go. Read it with me. And he laid hold, come on, y'all. And he laid hold of the dragon. That old, who is the, and Satan. Yes, sir. Call him out. Y'all can sit there calm all you want. Call that rascal out. You the devil, you the Satan, you the serpent. You, that's you. I'm sorry, folks. Today I'm just going to let him, I'm going to let him have it. He has given me, oh, okay, I said that already. He afflicted me with a lung disease at age 29. He took my son from me at age 26. Oh, I know the Lord let it happen, but we know who the instigator is. You can't spend all these weeks studying Job and not know now who's behind your mess. And it's time for him. I'm sorry, you may get bored by this sermon. I want him to get his. I'm reading my Bible now. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. And shut, I love the language, and shut him up. And set a seal on him. That is, the seal locked him. Put him in, come on, I say. And then lock the door. You ever seen those movies where they put somebody in jail and they slam the door and walk away? That he should not deceive the nations. Now see, this is his big weapon. See, it's not the sickness. It's not the car that won't start. It's not the kids that have no sense at all. It's the deception. He makes a fool out of us. You know I'm telling the truth. He should deceive the nations no more. How long? How long? Come on, choir. How long? Thousand years, that rascal. 1,000 years. Now, here is where it gets gooder than good. Look at verse 4. And I saw what? Read it, y'all. And they said, and they, and who? Who's the they? And judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast and of his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And ho! Look at the last phrase. Read it. And who's they? Yeah, don't be so shy. Who's they? Me! Now, you see it, Cecil? He is locked up and I'm with Jesus. Somebody ought to give God a hand. Now think about it, John Reed. See, the Lord is going to do more than lock him up. He's going to take me up. Now, how is this going to happen? We got to read some text, and you're taking notes. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Remember, symbolic. Where is this bottomless pit, and what are the chains? 1 Thessalonians, what did I say? 4:16. Let's see how this thing is going to develop. 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself. Let's read it together. Come on. For the Lord himself. Look how personal this is. See, the Lord is going to get this guy. Look at it. For the Lord himself shall do what? That's some very disorganized reading. Let's start again. Come on. Everybody, come on again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now remember, notice, over in Revelation, it says that an angel comes down from heaven. Okay, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Read on, with the voice of God, archangel, and with the trump of God, and... Ah, so the first thing, Pastor Mike, is that we're trying to figure out how does Satan wind up in jail. When Jesus comes, he's going to resurrect the dead, the righteous dead. It's called Mali Abraham, the first resurrection. Now that's the resurrection you want to be in. Don't come up late. There's two of them, two resurrections. You don't want to be late on the resurrection. Come up in that first one. Is that all right? All the godly people from Adam right down to the last person who dies, earliest stole before Christ comes, the last good person, they're all coming up, caught up with the Lord. You see that? All right. Then something else happens. Verse 17. Lord, have mercy. Look at verse 17. Read. Then. Y'all pitiful. Come on, read. Then we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Now look at that. The dead come up, and those of us who have lived through the time of trouble and all that the devil can toss at us, still made it, still alive, still kicking, still praying, still believing, still trusting, as the dead come up, the living shall be caught up. And all of a us will be with the Lord. Let the church say amen. Amen. So the righteous are gone. We ain't here. Tacoma Park is going to be empty of the righteous. Dead folks up. Righteous living caught up. Gone. Well, what else? What else? Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. Uh-oh. And then the lawless one will be what? Whom the Lord will, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the... It's actually in the plural in the Greek, the lawless ones. When Christ comes, I'm going to go through that other part again, just makes me feel good. Dead folks who are good, caught up. Living folks who are good, caught up. But the dead folks who are living will be struck the scratch. The wicked folk who are living will be struck dead. You see it, Larry? We got three groups now. The living, where are the living? The righteous living, where are they? And the righteous dead, where are they? And they're all in heaven. But the wicked will be alive when he comes. So remember Revelation 6, Cecil? And he comes and they say, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Let the rocks fall on us. At the moment that Christ comes, those not in Christ who are living shall be struck dead. So the only group left now is the wicked dead. Righteous living, caught up. Righteous dead, raised up. Wicked living, struck dead. So what about the wicked who are dead? Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Oh, look at verse 5. Would you please look at verse 5? That truth might assail your brain and give you joy and hope. Look at that. But the, I need help, but the did not live again until the. So the wicked dead stay dead. Let's redo it. Righteous, dead, what? Raised up. Righteous living, what? Caught up. Wicked living, what? Struck dead. Wicked dead, what? Stay dead. So the earth is empty of anybody for the devil to tempt. Hey! You sit there. Yes! Yes! His favorite playthings are taken from him. Nobody to make mad, nobody to make lie, nobody to do immorality with, nobody to drink with, nobody to sin with. He's down here all by himself. Trapped. So the bottomless pit is the earth. And the chains are chains of circumstances, because now, Donnell, he can't do anything that he enjoys, and what he enjoys most is giving you and me a fit. And for 1,000 years, see, he even challenged God as creator. Now the earth is destroyed, buildings knocked down, earthquakes messed up, seas have boiled, nothing is alive, everything is torn up. He's got 1,000 years to come up with a blade of grass. And the whole universe will see he's nothing but a created being himself. He's never been able to make anything. All all things come from God. He'll be exposed. You see it, Wally? Exposed. And all the angels, the evil angels who follow him, will suddenly realize he ain't never been nothing. We thought he had power. We thought he was the prince and power of the air. We now realize he only had power that God gave him. He's a nobody. In the meantime, well, put the quote up there. Put my quote up there. Yeah. Here it is. Read. Here is to be the home of Satan with his evil angels for 1,000 years. Limited to. No. Read that part again. Limited to. Read it one more time. Limited to earth. He will have no access to other worlds to tempt and annoy those who have never fallen. It is in this sense that he is bound. There are none remaining upon the whom he can exercise his power. Now, something special is going to happen. See, the devil is so prevalent, we can't even worship without the devil being around. You do know that he attends church. Oh, yeah. He attends church. He's that person when you get to TPC that shrugs you off, won't speak. That person full of themselves and puts on that stuff they have no business wearing in church at all to catch people's attention. He didn't say that, did he? Yeah, he sure did say it. He's that person who will not forgive or forget. And even though you've come down, you've been rebaptized, you put that thing behind you, every time he sees you, he brings up again what you did. Sometimes he gets on a baby right when the pastor's making an appeal. The baby starts crying because he does not want anybody to join the church. We can't even worship without the devil. But now, Anwar Otley, he's locked up down here. We're all up there. And we can have church for the first time without any devil in the service. Hey! Don't get me started down here. Praise all day long. Praise until we can't praise no more. Take a breath and then praise some more. We're going to clap our hands. We're going to eat fruit. There'll be no devil to give me a stomach ache. Locked up down here. But I'm enjoying church for the first time with no devil. You ought to put your hands together and praise God. I cannot stand it. And then, according to Genesis 3 and verse 8, when he got me to sin, he blocked off all human beings from face-to-face communion with God. Remember that? They went hiding. Remember that? But now, because the devil is locked up, Jeff preached it this morning, we're going to see the face of Jesus with no fear, no shame, no guilt, glorified, sanctified, forgiven, turned around, new bodies, new minds. We will look God in the eye and not apologize. In fact, if you read Exodus 33, 18 through 23, they were afraid to be in the presence of God. We're going to sit on God's lap. Have him tell us how he brought us through. I want him to explain to me how a man whose lungs are messed up and I should be carrying oxygen around, Lord, how did you keep me preaching? How did you do that? What a great blessing we shall experience. And so, because of this, I'm finishing up now. Because of this, all through the Bible, there's this appeal, Revelation 1 and verse 3. I'm going quick now. Revelation 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep these words, these things which are written in it, for the time is near. The first appeal in Revelation is, get yourself ready. Locking up time is coming from the devil. He's about to be trapped up. You don't want to be caught down here with him. In fact, if you read the rest of Revelation 20, when the wicked come up, the devil is going to fool them into thinking that he raised them up. They're going to come together in a great army, and they're going to try to take the holy city. Then fire will come down from God out of heaven. But just before that fire comes down, the throne of God rises above the walls of the holy city. And then on the screen, like a giant television, the sins of all the unsaved shall be broadcast, especially that moment when you finally said no to God for the last time. Great controversy says a groan will come up from the wicked like from animals when they realize they had salvation in their grasp and traded salvation for sin. So the Bible says the time is near. Look at Revelation 2. Come on, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him who does what? Come on, y'all. To him who does what? Overcomes. What's he going to do? Hey! If I can just get myself together by God's grace, the appeal is, come on, Henry. You're going to eat from the tree of life. God is trying to tantalize us and make us want to be there. Look at verse 11. Verse chapter 2, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Hey, Anwar, I'm not coming up the second time. I'm coming up the first time. I don't know about you, folk. I've come through too much. It's been rough, folk. I've come through too much. I have no intention of being lost. None! If you read all of Revelation 20, while we're in heaven, we're going to be the judges. Because you see, here's going to be your surprise when you get there, brother. You're going to try to figure out how in the world your pastor did not make it. So the Bible says, the judgment shall be given to the righteous. And you'll see. And then while you're sitting there, you're going to see that old drunk over there in a white robe. How did he make it? And you'll see. He accepted Christ. Now, I really don't think I'm going to spend much time on them two pages. I'm going to find my page. I don't have time to read your story. I'm going to find the page that says Henry Monroe Wright. And I want to find out how God got this hard-headed Negro into the kingdom. That's all I want to see. You can keep your book. I'm going to be so happy that God pulled it off. I don't care why you did not make it or didn't make it. I want to know how God pulled this miracle off. Come on, somebody. That's going to be going on, and the devil's going to be down here trying to come up with a blade of grass, trying to wake up a dead bird. Hey, he will not be able, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I will be with him. So he that overcomes, all through the book, is appeal, and then Revelation 22:17, the final appeal. Revelation 22:17. You see it? Do you see it? Stand up. We're going to read it. Stand up. This is God's appeal to you today. The devil is going to be trapped. He's going to be locked up. Shut down and left alone. And so because of that, the Bible says, read, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take. Do you see it? Could we read that one more time? Come on. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires. Don't be lost. Be saved. Don't be lost, young lady. Be saved. You and that child standing next to you, don't be lost. Be saved. O'Neill, you and Linda, those boys, don't be lost, man. Be saved. Delbert Pierman, you've given your life to working for this church and your wife by your side. You work for this church all over the world. Don't be lost. Be saved. Larry, you and Lolita, don't be lost. Be saved. Nicole, you and John, those kids, don't be lost. Be saved. Is that all right, folks?
Yes.
Let's be saved. At the same time that Satan is trapped, for the first time in my life, I want to be free. Free. I've never in my life been free. I want to be free. Let's sing the hymn.